الحمد لله، الحمد لله ذي الجلال والإكرام، الذي أوصانا بحسن القول وخير الكلام، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise, all glory and honor is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salutations and peace and blessings upon our noble, beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his purified and beautiful family, and upon the illustrious companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this noble and beautiful day of Jumu'ah. And may this day, may this sitting, this gathering, this moment become a means for our purification, for our guidance, and for our success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. Over the last few Jumu'ah, we began our discussion on understanding the importance of having a sahib, a rafiq, a zameel, a khalil, the importance of having a good friend in your life who can guide you, nurture you, support you. And we learned how the Prophet ﷺ was the most selective in choosing his companions around him, because they do refine you and they do define you, and they make you better or they can make you for the worse. And we also learned from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the importance of having a good friend, and how you are then categorized and recognized by those friends, and whether those friends will stand with you, stand forth with you, stand fast with you on the day of Qiyamah. And we learned from the Quran of Musa alayhi salam asking for a guide, an assistant, asking for a minister who will become his strength, who will become his aid, who will become his support in confronting Fir'aun, and also in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often. So throughout these Jumu'ahs we have learned one important thing, which is to choose our friends very, very carefully, because you have the right to choose your friends. And also to make sure that our suhbah, our connection, our time that we spent is with those people of sidq. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqeen. In other verses of the Quran, liyajziyallahu as-sadiqeena bi-sidqihim. So if you want to be known and recognized as the truthful, then we need to be amongst the truthful, amongst the Nabiyeen, the Sadiqeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, especially those people who speak the truth. So inshallah al-Aziz, today we will elaborate slightly further upon that and then go into another very, very important discussion, which talks about Sidq and the importance of Sidq in our lives. So the first question is that, is your heart, from a medical perspective and even generally as well, is your heart or is your tongue the most strongest muscle in your body? After all, your heart beats hundreds and thousands of times throughout the day, and it continues to beat from the time that you are in your mother's womb up until the time that you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So is your heart strong because it pushes so much blood at so much pressure throughout your entire body and keeps running even when you are asleep? Or is your tongue stronger than your heart? It's a very easy, seemingly easy answer. My heart, you would undoubtedly say, is stronger than my tongue. But this is unfortunately not true for the majority of mankind, because their tongue overpowers their heart in so many ways. So which has the greatest endurance, your heart or your tongue? And ask yourself, do you ever remember a time when your tongue became tired? Unfortunately, as human beings, we're not at that particular state. Whereas if you look at your heart and your body, when, you know, we sleep, we need to sleep. Why? Because our body is tired, our heart is tired. When our body gives up, our limbs give up, our mind gives up, it's an indication that our heart is tired and it needs rest. But unfortunately, this isn't the same for our tongue. Because even when we're eating, we're talking. Even when we're walking, we're talking. Even when we're working, we're talking. And even when we're praying, sometimes we're talking as well to ourselves. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. The namaz khatam ho jaye and I'll do X, Y, and Z. So we're constantly talking, whether to ourselves or to other people in some way or form. And our tongues never tire. I've never found a person, let alone children, or even adults, who say, "Yaar, main thak gaya bol bol ke." You know, I'm tired of talking. No, we love talking. This is human nature, talk about ourselves. And especially we never get tired talking about other people, other people's problems and other people's relationships. This is a very important thing that I want you to focus on today. So whereas we sleep and we slow down because the heart needs rest, we never slow down and rest and pause with our tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us innumerable amounts of blessing, of in'am, of boon, of bounties. But one of the greatest favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, which differentiates human beings from the rest of creation, is the ability to speak. This is what differentiates. And if you look in the Arabic text, the definition of insan is hayawan natiq. That hayawan, an animal, we are animals ultimately in one way or form, but an animal that talks and that can communicate. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the majestic Quran mentions, Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan 'allamahu al-bayan. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most merciful, the most beneficent, the most compassionate? He is the one who has taught us the Quran. He is the one who created insan, created every single one of us. But after creating us, did He leave us mute? No. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, He gave us the faculty and the ability to speak. And the speaking can be our greatest strength, and it can take us to the highest of the highs. And the speaking again can be our greatest weakness and can take us to the lowest of the lows. And the hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْوَتْ زَوِيَ إِلَى الْبِرْقِ, that you have to hold on fast to Sidq, to speaking the truth. Why? Because that truth will take you to righteousness, towards that which is correct, and everything that you do which is correct with your tongue will take you towards Jannah. And stay away from kizb, from lying, from deceit, from telltale, from falsehood, from all of these things, because it will take you to fujur, it will take you to your own destruction and deviance, take you to far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In all of the books, whenever you look at the khutbahs of the imams and the scholars, they say that khayrul kalam, the best of speech, the best of communication, the best of talking, the best of conversation is none other than the kalam of Allah, than the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is indeed the best, the most truthful, the most honest, the most pure, the most direct, coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa khayrul hadith, though the best of hadith, i.e. conversations and dialogue, is none other than the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. What is the first title that we learn about the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? That he was Sadiqul Amin. This is how he's recognized amongst the Muslims and the non-Muslims, amongst the Arabs and the non-Arabs, that he was Sadiq. He was the most truthful in his speech, and he was the most trustworthy with all of the things that were given to him. So speech, your tongue is a very, very powerful thing that can make you achieve Jannah. Because with your tongue, when we say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, it elevates you from the rest of mankind. It elevates you even above the angels. That La ilaha illallah with that very tongue enables you to enter into Jannatul Firdaus. That Allahu Akbar, that Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and all of the other things, and the Salah, and all of the Qur'an that you recite, that with that tongue, that speech enables you to enter some place beautiful. But with the same tongue, if you say the opposite of La ilaha illallah, you know what will happen. So your tongue is a very, very powerful thing. We need to be very, very careful. It enables you to enter Islam, but your same tongue will enable you to exit Islam as well. Yes. With your tongue, we do our own izzat. Is it yes? What is izzat? That's it, come on. Yeah. With our tongue, we be humble, we be nice, we do all of these things. And then because of our tongue, people give us honor and kareem and status and everything because of our tongue. With that same tongue, if you go effing and jeffing and lying and deceiving and doing all of these things, that same tongue will cause you to be an outcast. Yes? So your tongue can give you Jannah. The tongue can give you Jahannam. The tongue, when you say Qabula, can give you a beautiful marriage and can give you beautiful children. And that same tongue can cause your divorce, can cause you to distance yourself from your children. We say, what the fuck, yo, umma ghurulawo, jaan chodo, as we say in our language, get lost, go away from me. The makaya to our wife and our children, our family members, that same tongue can be the cause of so much happiness and joy and felicity, and that same tongue causes so much sorrow and pain and destruction. That tongue can cause peace in society by saying, I forgive you, I pardon you, I'll overlook this particular mistake. And that same tongue, if it's not careful, can declare war on families, on communities, on societies, on entire civilizations and nations, and say, we're going to war because of a tongue. Because how dare you say this to me? How dare you disrespect me? So the tongue is a very powerful thing, and this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and he said, if you give me zamanat, you know, zamanat is like a promise, a pledge. If you give me this promise that you can take care of two things, then I will promise you Jannah. How easy is that? Imagine your teacher, your parents saying to me, you do these two things and I'll guarantee you Jannah. And there's none other than who can guarantee you Jannah above the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. How easy are these things? They're very easy to do. Very easy. The first thing the Messenger ﷺ mentioned, that if you protect your private parts, promise me you will protect your private parts. I.e. you will only use your private parts the way that you have been allowed to do in the terms of marriage. So if you can protect your private parts, then I will guarantee you Jannah. And the second thing he mentioned, that if you protect your tongue, protect your tongue, control your tongue, what comes off your tongue, and I will guarantee you Jannah again. It's seemingly very, very easy. Lower your gaze, protect your tongue, be careful, think, and consider what you're about to say, and protect your private parts, and that's it. An easy way to Jannah, but this is the easiest way to our destruction as well. And the majority of mankind are destroying themselves via their private parts, and the majority of mankind are also destroying themselves and their families and societies because of their own tongue. So the tongue is indeed much more stronger and much more powerful than the heart. It is how we utilize it, how we use it. So we have to think before we speak. Ask yourself, always ask yourself, what I'm about to say, is it 100% true? Not 90%, not 50%, but it might be true, like our politicians like to say, I believe this is the truth. This is what they say. We're very, very good with our speech. In convoluted conversations and wishy-washy language and using ambiguous term and terminology, having all of this, you know, jargon. If it's not 100% true, don't say it. If it's not beneficial to the person that you are talking to, don't say it. If it's not something nice to, and it might hurt that person and their feelings, then don't say it. Otherwise, remain silent. This is the very important thing that we can't do with our tongues. We always want to say something. Our buzurgs always want to say, oh, istrankar to istrankar. There's a nice way of telling our children, do this and do this, and giving a reason behind that. There's a nice way of sharing something beneficial with somebody that may be doing something wrong. There's always, you have to look at these things, how you approach that individual, how you use your tone, your pitch, your speech, the words, and whether it's beneficial or not. Otherwise, alaykum could be something, like, stay quiet, remain silent. Remain silent, but we can't do that. We always need to have an opinion. We always need to have something about somebody or something. But we should always look at whether we speak well, whether we are speaking kindly, compassionately, whether we're speaking for the benefit of other people, whether we are speaking beautifully or not. Because look at the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the life of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. He never swore at other people. He never degraded other people. He never insulted other people. In spite of what they did to him and how they would abuse and insult him, he did not react in that particular way. He controlled his tongue, always used his tongue for the best of manners. Why? Because he knew that with this tongue, I say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. With this tongue, I say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. With this tongue, I tell people about Jahannam and Jannah and all of these things. And how is it with this tongue I can be insulting? I can be a horrible person, or I can tell lies and tentails and gossip and backbiting and do all of these things. He never did that, and he never allowed himself to do those things. But we very easily mix the truth all the time. So meeting and interacting with people is a basic human nature. We all do that on a daily basis, from our wife, our children, our colleagues, our friends, our neighbors. We do it all the time. We can't, you know, avoid meeting with one another. And by every time you meet one person, you end up engaging with them. And the way that you engage with them is with your tongue. And if you don't control your tongue, it will lead you towards your own destruction and annihilation. We always want to talk about news and politics and sports and children and recipe and fashions and money. But the best topic that every single one of us loves to hear, whether you are men or whether you are women, it may be more so for women, but especially even for men as well, we love to learn about other people. What was he doing? Where was she going? What was she wearing? Did you see this person with that person? We love gossip. We love hearing gossip, and then after that, we love spreading gossip as well. And this is a very, very dangerous thing, because your tongue is leading you to your own destruction. Go back to that hadith, alaykum bis sidq, and keep away from kids, keep away from falsehood and telltale. So protecting your tongue is part of our faith, an integral part of your faith. And if you can protect your tongue and safeguard your tongue, then the Prophet ﷺ will promise you and has promised you Jannah, if we protect our tongue and what comes off our tongue. We may think, oh, it's so easy, but with that tongue you can destroy 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of relationships. You can destroy rishteh in an instant. You can destroy entire communities and societies and even civilization because of, let's go to war, or because this person is a liar, or this person, X, Y, and Z. It's a very, very dangerous thing, and our politicians know this far better than anybody else. So, but for us, we don't need the police to catch us. We don't need reporters to come and say, you said this statement at this particular time, and now you've changed your statement. We have the evidence, we have the video, we have the audio, we have the recording, we have X, Y, and Z. We don't need reporters, we don't need other people to vet us, we don't need other people to stop us and to do all of these things. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created an internal function within us and reminded us constantly, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That any word that you utter, know that there is an angel appointed and he's recording every single thing that you say. So we don't need to worry about whether we're going to be caught out. You know, for example, Partygate and other people and other politicians in America and the USA and everywhere else, they're always waiting to be caught out, and oh, then find another way to get out of that situation. We don't even need to go anywhere like that whatsoever. We don't even need to think twice about our family or anybody else and say, oh, I know you, I know you're lying. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami'un Basir. He is the all-hearing, He is the all-knowing, He is the all-seeing. We know that we have angels appointed on our shoulders and they are recording every single letter that we utter, every single word and sentence that we say and conversation and discourse and dialogue that we have. It's all recorded. So who are you deluding? You're trying to delude yourself that you didn't say it? You can't get away from it. And everything will be presented to you on the day of Qiyamah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in terms of speech, in terms of conversation, that always qawlan ma'rufa, that qawlan sadida, that whenever you speak, speak well, speak kind, speak true words, speak words of justice, speak even the truth, even if it's your most nearest family members. How many ministers then just toe the party line because they say, oh, I don't want to upset the Prime Minister, I don't want to upset the President, I don't want to upset X, Y, and Z person from this Raja Sahib or Sheikh Sahib or anybody else. Why? Because we have this affiliation. No, speak the truth. Even in front of a tyrant, whoever it may be, speak the truth. This is why you have been given the faculty of speech by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to speak well, to speak kindly, to speak words of encouragement and generosity and forgiveness and pardon, not to speak lies and tentails and gossip and backbiting, because this is where, unfortunately, the world and society is going. If you look at the gossip industry, the celebrity and gossip industry, it's worth over $3 billion, not a small amount of money. $3 billion of industries working on what? On pure gossip. This person is doing this or living like this or said this X, Y, and Z. And if you look at the newspaper and advertising industry, it's worth $49.2 billion. All about what that person said and what he did and how he did. And then a rebuttal and then this and then that. And then this inquiry and that inquiry. And everybody's got something to say, something to hide, something to be convoluted about. So malicious, untruthful words, what do? They cause damage, they cause rifts, they cause hatred within personal lives, within families, within societies, and they completely break up the entire community. And they destroy civilizations and nations as well. We as a nation, we as an ummah, we are not permitted, we are not allowed to backbite or gossip or spread gossip or slander or insult. This is not who we are. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam emphatically mentioned the true believer is not involved whatsoever in taunting or cursing or indecency or abusing or gossip or backbiting or any of these things. This is not who we are. We are a nation of honesty, of integrity, of truthfulness. Kunu ma'as sadiqeen, those people who stand forth and stand with people of such, of haq, and always speak the truth, even against their own father or their mother or anybody else. We don't say, oh, this is beneficial for me in a political sense, or financially, or anything else. We always speak the truth with the tongue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So ghibah, one of the very biggest things, a dangerous thing in our religion. The other day I was teaching our children in madrasa the sixth kalima, raddi kufr. And I'm sure all of you remember, and part of that is that وَتَبَرَّأْتُ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ وَالْكِذْبِ وَالْغِيبَةِ وَالْبِدْعَةِ وَالنَّمِيمَةِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ وَالْبُهْتَانِ وَالْمَعَاصِ كُلِّهَا وَأَسْلَمْتُ وَأَقُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. This is part of our iman and part of our belief that this is who we are. We don't backbite or slander or tell tale, make false statements or anything like that. We submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here we are on a daily basis. We look at our politicians, look at our nation, look at our community and society, and we always are lying. There have been studies taking place that the child from the age of 2 years old, 30% of the time they start to tell a lie. By the time a child is 9 years old, 80% of the they can start to speak more and more lies. Ask yourself, where do they learn this? They learn white lies from us from a young age. Oh, just tell your grandfather that you like this toy, or tell them you like spending time with them. Or we lie in front of our spouse or our children, and then they learn from us. Maybe a small white lie, then they learn how to lie better and better and conceal it in a better and better place. And studies have shown that majority of politicians are corrupt and they do lie, but they get re-elected on the basis of their lying as well. Because we lie ourselves, and the politicians are a reflection of who we are. So going back to that speech, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the faculty of speech. But that speech is to be used in the best of manners, to encourage people, to support people, to be kind to people, to be merciful to people, to be overlooking, and not to do gossip or backbiting or slander or insults or tell tales and lie. And especially when somebody asks you directly to your face, and then you very, very beautifully say, I'd like to leave this question, or I'll come back to you. And we have so many other ways of avoiding saying yes or no. And this is very important thing that we need to really understand. So ghiba is backbiting, which is very, very dangerous. Buhtan is slander, which is also very, very dangerous as well. Namima is insulting other people, which is very, very dangerous. So as our duty as Muslims, as citizens, as human beings, is always to live a life of truth. كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ قُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Always speak the truth, uphold the truth, mention the truth, and not sugarcoat it, and not try to wiggle out and use different ways or ambiguous terms and terminology and say, we'll wait for the inquiry to take place, we'll wait for X, Y, and Z, or no, you misunderstand. We don't use any of these things. We are straight forward people, learning from the Quran, which is the best of kalam, learning from the hadith, which is the best of hadith, from the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who is recognized as Sadiqul Ameen, and therefore we should be Sadiqs in our truth, in our words, in our conversations, in our dialogue. We can't be anything else. If you receive information, unfortunately, this is rampant in our society. We hear something, we don't verify the information, we should start spreading it. And on that, without knowing, we become part and parcel of spreading those fires, those telltales, those gossip and that slander against other people. And our deen has been given us very, very clear guidelines on information. When you get any information, it's our duty to verify it and vet it before we spread it out. And even if we do, ask yourself, is it beneficial for that individual? Is it kind towards that individual? Or am I just being part and parcel of this gossip industry, this fake industry, this lying industry? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us 9 very, very clear steps in verifying information. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Investigate. Duty and onus is upon you before spreading any information whatsoever. Ask yourself, is that beneficial? Is it meaningful? Will it change somebody? Will it hurt somebody? فَأَصْلِحُوا. And if you see that somebody has done something, we need to be there to make amends, to make corrections, to acknowledge something has gone wrong, somebody has said something wrong, and fix that mistake and work for the greater good, work for the greater harmony in the families and in society. وَأَقْسِطُوا. No matter who it may be, somebody higher, who it may be, act justly, even if they are your family members. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that even if Fatima, my daughter, were to steal, then I would put the punishment on her as well, just like the punishment on any other individual. Nobody is above the law. Everybody must speak the truth. لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ. That we don't ridicule people, because you don't know, they might be better than you, because you don't know the reality, you don't know the haqeer. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا. And we do not insult one another as well. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا. We do not call offensive nicknames to each other as well. I love watching Prime Minister's Question Time, because they say, my honourable gentleman, my honourable man, X, Y, and Z. Generally, kulli beastika, then after saying my honourable person. That's not how we behave. We be nice, we be honest to our face, to their face. We don't keep it in our heart, and we don't do their beastika kulli. We be honest, and this is a very important part of who Muslims are. Always be honest in your speech. Not sugar-coated, and do underhanded mizaq and insults to other people as well. اجتنبوا كثيرًا من الظن. We avoid assumptions. We don't assume, because assumptions lead to doubt, and that doubt leads to your destruction and the destruction of other people as well. Always verify things before you mention them. ولا تجسسوا. Neither do we spy on one another just to get the latest gossip and the latest trends and seeing what's happening in our society in certain families. ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا. And neither do we backbite or gossip or slander, do any of these things. So be very, very careful with the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in your tongue. And that tongue can lead you to Jannah. That tongue can lead you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that same tongue can lead you to Jahannam and take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That tongue can transform other people and their lives. And that tongue can also destroy other people and their lives as well. So remember, كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with rightful people, honest people, truthful people, and always speak the truth till the day that you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.